Welcome to the debate. You know, when we look back at the history of human labor, we tend to picture physical exhaustion.
Right.
We picture sweat, muscle, the ringing of a factory whistle. We think of a tangible toll for a tangible wage.
Yeah, absolutely.
But today, the most valuable labor on Earth happens completely in silence. It is, it's the flick of a thumb on a screen, a momentary pause on a video, the micro hesitation before you click a link.
Mm-hmm.
And the workers generating that immense value, meaning all of us, are not getting paid a single dime for our effort.
Because we are essentially generating billions of dollars in what the tech industry calls inferred signal.
Right.
For artificial intelligence models, just simply by existing and navigating online spaces. It is a completely invisible extraction of our cognitive labor. And it happens every second we are awake.
Yeah, it really does. So today we are looking at a radical proposal called the Build Something Framework.
Mm-hmm.
It is essentially a blueprint for a new digital constitution that asks a massive question. What if we charged AI companies for our daily attention and used that money to pay everyone on Earth a $50,000 baseline income?
Which is quite the premise.
It is. The framework asks a billion people to spend exactly 1 minute a day judging what is funny, beautiful, and true. By doing this, it generates an unfakeable declared signal.
Right.
And I represent the position that this framework is a highly credible, brilliant structural solution to AI alignment and data exploitation, because it permanently prices human judgment and it forces AI laboratories onto a transparent public scoreboard.
And I represent the position that this framework, while diagnosing the problem beautifully, is fundamentally contradictory in its execution. It attempts to dismantle the attention economy by replicating its most aggressive extractive mechanics, by relying on hyper-gamification, gambling, lotteries, and the total monopolization of human daily attention to function.
I see why you think that, but let me give you a different perspective on why this architecture is actually a necessary pivot.
Okay.
To understand the brilliance of the Build Something framework, we have to look mechanically at how the AI industry currently operates. Right now, companies train their models by extracting that inferred signal you mentioned.
Yes, the invisible labor.
Exactly. Consider how an algorithm currently decides what you want to see. It tracks if you hovered over an image for, say, 1.2 seconds instead of 0.8 seconds.
Right.
It takes that micro hesitation and infers your preference. It is essentially reading the exhaust fumes of your digital life and calling it your identity.
Wow.
And it's free data for them, but it never exercises your actual judgment.
And it is a terrible proxy for actual human values. I mean, if you slow down to look at a car crash on the highway, it doesn't mean you love car crashes.
Right.
And that you want to see more of them. But that is exactly what inferred data assumes. The manifesto diagnosing this problem is incredibly sharp on this exact point.
Which is why the transition to declared signal in this framework is the core innovation here.
Okay.
The system engages a billion users to explicitly judge daily entries. They aren't just scrolling. They are consciously voting on what is funny, beautiful, or true.
Mm-hmm.
And they are actively detecting whether yesterday's winning content was made by a human or machine.
Right. The daily test.
Yeah. By coordinating this explicit voting, the system creates the most valuable data set on Earth, what the founder calls the record of humanity. It transitions us from a wild forest where companies just sort of forage for whatever behavioral berries they find to a highly regulated agricultural system where we actually price the crop of human consciousness.
I see the metaphor, yeah.
And it redistributes the value of this data back to the users with that strict $50,000 floor. Built by a founder who structurally locks his own financial incentive at absolute zero.
Well, I come at it from a different way.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because if someone pitches you an app where you vote on jokes to win $1 million and secure a $50,000 basic income, your immediate instinct is that you're being scammed.
Sure, it sounds too good to be true.
Right. And we have to address why the mechanics of this framework feel exactly like a late-night infomercial. I mean, the manifesto preaches freeing people from the endless scrolling of the attention economy, but you have to look at the actual mechanism being proposed here.
Okay, break it down.
You open an app, you look at user-submitted content, you vote to enter a $1 million lottery pool. I just have to ask, is that fundamentally different from the behavioral conditioning we currently endure on social media?
Well,
or is it just a new variation of the same Skinner box where the pellet just happens to be a massive financial payout?
Well, you are calling it a Skinner box, but a Skinner box hides the mechanism to manipulate the subject.
Does it?
Yes. This framework is entirely transparent about the transaction. It requires a literal $1 entry fee if you want to submit your own content.
Right. Though voting is free.
Exactly. Voting is free. And all that entry money goes directly into a winner-takes-all Daily Million-Dollar pot. It is not some hidden algorithm guessing what keeps your eyes on the screen for another 3 seconds.
Right.
It is you consciously declaring a preference, knowing that your declaration is recorded on an immutable ledger, it's public, and it's directly tied to your economic benefit.
I'm sorry, but I don't buy that. Let me tell you why. Picking a winner from a daily joke or photo competition fails to constitute profound declared signal.
Okay.
We have to look at the system's own internal promotional instructions. The prompt for the framework's audio overview explicitly demands a tone with, quote, zero caveats.
Right. It's a promotional tool.
But it instructs the creator to operate like a rally, not a review, and to push the narrative of you might be a millionaire tonight.
Well, you have to speak the language of the current internet to capture the audience needed to change it.
But look at what the users are actually doing mechanically.
Okay.
They earn credits for correctly identifying if a piece of content was made by a human or machine. And what do they do with those credits?
They use them in the system.
They bet on which entry will win the overall daily pot. They are betting against their own stake. The architecture relies completely on the psychological hooks of gambling, of risk, and instantaneous wealth generation.
I think that's a bit of a harsh reading.
It is like trying to cure a gambling addiction by opening a casino in the patient's living room. You cannot build a utopian repository of profound human wisdom using the exact mechanics of a digital slot machine.
I'm not convinced by that line of reasoning, because you are ignoring the sheer scale of the coordination problem we're trying to solve here.
The billion people.
Yes. How do you get a billion human beings to do the same thing at the same time every single day?
It's hard.
You cannot do it with a dry academic appeal to saving human data rights. People won't show up for that. You need an engine.
And you think gambling is the right engine?
I think the gamification, the million-dollar daily pot, the credit betting, these are pragmatic engines. They're the scaffolding required to build the ultimate data set. And if we want to talk about mechanics, we really need to address how this entire system is funded.
Oh, yes, we do.
Because this is where the economic brilliance actually shines.
I would say the funding mechanism is perhaps the most concerning part of the entire proposal. You are referring to news from the John.
Wait, hold on. Let's break this down clearly for a moment, because this is where the math sounds impossible on its face.
It does.
The claim is a $50,000 annual floor for a billion people. If you do the math, that is $50 trillion a year.
Yeah, $50 trillion.
It sounds absurd. I mean, how can a daily 5-minute broadcast possibly fund the GDP of a small planet? I want to make sure we unpack exactly how this economic engine functions.
All right, let's unpack it. The framework proposes that the $50,000 floor is funded by a 5-minute broadcast called News from the John.
Right.
During this broadcast, the winners of the Daily Minute are announced. But the catch is that 5 products from advertisers are hidden within the broadcast itself.
The scavenger hunt aspect.
Exactly. The first person to find all 5 wins an instant $50,000 prize. Because of this high-stakes hunt, you have a billion people paying absolute undivided attention to the screen for those 5 minutes.
Right. And think about the value of that to an advertiser.
It's immense.
Right now, global advertising spends billions and billions of dollars trying to track us across a fragmented internet. They buy our search history. They buy our location data. They infer our desires.
Which we established is flawed.
Very flawed. But here they buy the frame without buying the surveillance. Advertisers pay astronomical rates to be part of that broadcast because it guarantees a billion undivided minds looking exactly where they want them to look.
Right.
It completely cuts out the data broker middleman. It funds a global basic income purely by centralizing our attention into one clean 5-minute window where everyone sees the exact same ad.
While I will readily acknowledge that avoiding surveillance capitalism is a massive improvement over the current model, no question there.
Yeah.
But you cannot ignore the scheduling trick that makes this economic engine work.
The randomization?
Yes. The show airs at a different, random time every day. The text literally boasts about this. It says, appointment television died because things became watchable later. So this framework brings back the necessity of you have to be there.
It creates urgency.
It explicitly claims, quote, a billion people keep a slot open all day, every day, end quote. And then it says, nobody has ever owned that.
Right. It is the ultimate centralization of attention to fund a decentralized payout.
But it is the ultimate monopolization of human life.
Oh, come on.
No, look at the inherent contradiction here. In Section 5, the manifesto promises that with a $50,000 floor, users will finally be free from the daily grind.
Yes, that's the goal.
It says for the first time in your life, you look up and there's nothing you have to do. It promises people will have the time to help their communities, you know, fix their friend's car, pay off an aunt's rent.
Right.
But how can you look up and live freely if your economic survival depends on keeping your entire day completely open, waiting for a randomized 5-minute alarm to hunt for hidden products?
Well,
you aren't freeing people from the attention economy. You are placing them on a global randomized leash.
That's an interesting point, though. I would frame it differently. You are looking at the daily inconvenience. But we have to look at what happens after a year of this system operating.
Okay, what happens?
The end, in this case, thoroughly justifies the means. Let's slow down and look at the actual output of this attention, which is the public alignment scoreboard.
All right. Let's clearly define what an alignment scoreboard actually is in this context.
Right. So right now, every AI company basically grades its own homework.
Yes, they do.
A tech giant builds a frontier model like Claude or ChatGPT. They run it through their own internal testing, and they publish a white paper declaring their model is safe and aligned with human values.
Right.
We just have to take their word for it. That self-grading is the core vulnerability of the current tech ecosystem. The Build Something framework fixes this mechanically.
By using the daily votes.
Exactly. By having a billion people vote on what is funny, beautiful, or true every single day, you build a massive chronological data set of human preference. After a year, you take those frontier models and ask them to predict what the humans actually chose on, say, March 4th. If the AI gets it wrong, you have mathematical proof it is misaligned with actual human consensus.
Right.
It forces these corporations into a public arena where they are graded against undeniable, unfakeable human choices.
I'll admit, having a billion people grade AI models based on explicit choices is a fascinating counterproposal to closed-door corporate testing.
It's revolutionary.
But again, we have to look at the structural frailties in the foundation of that data.
What do you mean?
Can true AI alignment be safely crowdsourced by a billion people whose primary motivation for participating is a randomized lottery and credit betting?
Well, the data is still declared.
But if the data set is generated by people frantically trying to game a daily $1 million pot, is that data set genuinely representative of human wisdom, or is it just human avarice?
The material accounts for that through the give half rule.
Right. Explain that.
The mechanics state that if you win $1 million, you have to give half of it away within 30 days, and it is all visible on the public ledger.
Mm-hmm.
It forces money to move, turning financial allocation into a second layer of human judgment.
Okay.
And more importantly, this entire data set powers the ultimate goal of the framework,
which is Vera.
Right. The people's AI.
Yes. Vera's instructions aren't written by a corporation in Silicon Valley. Her master prompt is written by the public at promptstothepeople.com.
With a specific deadline, right? Yes, with a deadline of October 23rd, 2026. The founding prompt is to spread value safely and quickly. And the crucial mechanical difference between Vera and current models is how she handles uncertainty.
How so?
If you ask a current AI to plan a vacation, it hallucinates an itinerary based on statistical probability. It guesses.
Right.
Because guessing keeps you engaged. When Vera doesn't understand what you want, she stops. She doesn't guess. She asks.
She asks for clarification.
Exactly. She might ask, do you value relaxation or adventure more for this trip? Humans decide. It gets written down in the record, and she learns. That is what true AI alignment looks like in practice.
Well, that's a compelling argument, but have you considered the foundational instability of the entity building Vera?
I'm not sure I follow.
Even the founding documents of this framework are structurally unresolved. The text explicitly admits there is a contradiction in the economic rules regarding the founder.
Oh, the cap versus the lock?
Right. It notes an old $100 million cap versus a newer $0 lock on what the founder can make. It openly states that the legal structure to make the $0 lock unbreakable isn't finished yet.
That's just being transparent about the process.
But you are asking a billion people to dedicate their daily lives and essentially hand over the training data for the definitive public AI to a system whose most foundational economic safeguard is essentially an I.O.U. located in a draft markdown file.
Transparency about an unfinished rule is infinitely better than a hidden, finished rule.
Is it?
Yes. The document insists that the contradiction stays in the record, precisely for accountability. The founder states he's spending his life savings of $100,000 to build this, keeping none of it, and explicitly tells the reader, quote, don't trust him. Inspect the rules, end quote.
The entire point is that the framework operates on a public ledger where nothing gets deleted. Judgments, winners, rule changes, they stay forever. If a rule changes, the old one sits right next to the new one with the stated reason. It is an architecture of absolute accountability, which is completely antithetical to how tech monopolies operate today.
Transparency is vital. I agree with that. But transparency about a system built on gambling doesn't make it less of a casino.
We keep coming back to the casino because the danger here is the absolute certainty of the narrative being pushed onto the users. The promotional prompt demands zero hedging. It insists this is a rally, not a review.
Right.
True intellectual alignment, true philosophical growth, it requires nuance. It requires the friction of doubt.
Sure.
By demanding a billion people participate in a fast, loud, certainty-driven machine where they vote on what is true to win $1 million, you risk flattening human complexity into whatever plays best to the crowd on that particular day.
But algorithms currently flatten our complexity to sell ads, and we get nothing but polarization and extracted labor in return.
That is true.
The build something architecture, despite its aggressive growth tactics, it represents a brilliant structural pivot. By forcing a price on undeclared signal, by enforcing a transparent AI alignment scoreboard, and by committing to a public ledger that never goes backward, it offers a credible, evidence-based alternative to the passive extraction we suffer right now.
Mm-hmm.
It shifts us from being farmed by platforms to owning the very loop that makes machines smarter.
It attempts to do that. But I ultimately believe it tries to cure the disease by injecting the patient with a mutated form of the pathogen.
A mutated pathogen?
Yes. You cannot dismantle an exploitative, hyper-stimulating attention economy by building a system that demands users keep their entire day completely open waiting for a random 5-minute broadcast.
Well,
you cannot achieve nuanced, profound AI alignment by fueling the data gathering with lottery promises, betting mechanics, and a mandate for uncritical roaring certainty.
We clearly diverge on whether the mechanics undermine the mission or simply make the mission possible at scale. But regardless of its internal contradictions, the Build Something framework forces a vital examination of our digital lives.
Absolutely.
It demands we ask who sets the rules of the systems we live inside and what it would actually take, structurally, mathematically, and economically, to prove that an artificial intelligence is truly aligned with human values.
The questions it raises about the value of declared signal versus inferred data are essential. There is clearly much more to explore within the actual clauses of that constitution and how a billion-person dataset like the Record of Humanity might actually take shape in practice when exposed to human nature.
Which brings us back to that original image of human labor. For decades, our digital labor has been silent, invisible, and uncompensated.
Right.
Whether this specific blueprint is the definitive answer or just the opening bit, it forces a realization. The era of the silent, unpaid digital worker may finally be coming to an end. We just have to decide what kind of machinery we are willing to build next.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.